Good morning.
It's still morning. It's 10:40 a.m. It's mid-morning, Saturday, March the 21st, 2015. Saturday, March the 21st. First full day of spring. Yesterday was the equinox. Today is the first full day. And it's quite spring-like, actually. It's cool, but not terribly cold. Sun is very warm. Whenever I walk in the sun, it feels quite warm. It's high in the sky, so most of where I'm walking is in the sun. I've come up from a shady spot, and I'm quite actually grateful for that. That last quarter mile is going to be a bit grim. However, it's nice. Spring morning, I've got 1,000 words in. I got up late. I went to bed relatively early last night and slept in because I didn't have to get up. Heard the elder daughter leaving this morning at 3:30. But I didn't let it get me up. I just sort of rolled over and went back to sleep. It was quite decadent. Quite decadent indeed. So yeah, it was a pleasant day. Pleasant morning. I got 1,000 words in before the walk, although it was I delayed the walk so I could get the 1,000 words. Had some breakfast. I got my yogurt and granola this morning. Breakfast. 50 grams of carbs. A little bit of protein. I'm thinking about what I'm going to get for lunch since I used up so many of my carbs for breakfast. It's hard to get a breakfast that's not either eggs or 50 carbs or more. I'm looking at carbs, but I'm also balancing carbs, so I'm not cutting carbs out. 50 is a good number. Anything under 100 is a pretty good number. And I'm trying to get the better carbs, the slower dispersion carbs, rather than the sugars. So the dairy carbs, a lot of the carbs were from the granola were not from wheat, they were from oats. Oats and flax. So, yeah, I shouldn't have quite the roller coaster ride that I would if I had had something sweeter. I looked for some low carb, low sugar jam, but the problem with it is, It's low-cal. I mean, teaspoon is 10 calories rather than 50 calories. But the carbs are still quite high. And a lot of the carb is from sugar. It's fructose. It's, you know, it's natural sugar. It's from the fruit. If I'm going to do that, I have to do something a little different. Yesterday I did have an apple. My lunch was a chicken salad with celery and apple. It really did need some sort of like walnut or pecan or something. It was still good. I enjoyed it. a little bit of mayo. It was still good. It was quite delicious, actually. So lunch today is probably going to be something with greens. Tonight I'm going to make spaghetti. I think I'll make spaghetti with spaghetti squash instead of pasta. I got a lovely spaghetti squash at the store the other day. So I'll roast that and make spaghetti squash. I should start the sauce pretty soon so it has time to simmer a bit, to cook down a little. Navigate the intersection here without getting run over. Yesterday was a productive day. I got like 3,700 words by the end of the day. It was kind of a long day, and not terrible. It was like 9:30 before I finally said, okay, that's a good place to stop. But I had 3,700 words by the time I was over. I'm finding I'm writing more in the evening now than I used to. I used to write in the morning. And I'm finding myself writing more in the evening. I don't care. My green goal for writing is 5,000 words or more. And eventually I know I'll get there. Right now, if I could get 3,000 words, that's a 100,000 word or 90,000 word novel in a month. And I'm good with that. It's a lot more than I have been writing, so it's good. I'll take it. It's a lot better than 500 words a day. It's a lot better than 1,000 words a day. I'll take it. And it's basically twice the NaNoWriMo rate. It's not five times the NaNoWriMo rate, which is what I usually write, but this story is... I think it's being difficult because it's constrained on both sides. Having a constraint on the beginning is pretty much fine. It's how I've written almost everything except Quartershare and Ravenwood. They weren't constrained at the beginning. So I was able to write the story that came from the beginning. Cape Grace, I'm having to write from the beginning, but the beginning isn't where the story is. The beginning is being constrained by the end. Ideally, I would have gone back and picked up right after the end of South Coast, but that's 30 years too soon. It's not a handy place. It's not a good location. It's not a good time. Because the ending is constrained. I need to get the end of South Coast with Sarah feeling like she was bullied into marrying her husband, whose name turns out will be Bobby Tatum. And Otto needs to facilitate her leaving. Now, there's more to the story. There has to be more to the story, because that's like a short story. That's like nothing. It's not a story I would want to read. And so the challenge for me is to write the story that I would like to read. And knowing that I know the ending already, what is that story going to look like? Monk post. So it's a challenge for me. It's a very difficult challenge, it turns out, because I don't have a good handle. I'm trying to go through this take off your pants outline, and quite honestly, it doesn't work for me that well. By the time I figure out all of that, you know, I have to stop and think of every individual scene. Or at least how I'm going to accomplish each of the individual marks in the hero's journey outline. It's got 20 something, I got 21. 21 milestones around the circle. And it's I'm not convinced I like it. I'm not convinced that it's a good format for outline. I have enough trouble just dealing with the regular, you know, the three-act structure outline. And the whole action rising thing. It's like, okay, well, once you enter Act 2, once you go from Act 1 to Act 2, you can't go back. So there has to be some sort of, so it's a one-way door. And it's the same way from second to third. Now, my third acts tend to be very, 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 very short. They're supposed to be like 25% of the book, but a lot of mine are like 3% of the book, 5% of the book. Battle's over, it's a little denouement, and off we go. So perhaps what I really, and I get hit for it pretty regularly, the story's ending too abruptly, too rushed at the end. But I don't say them as rushed. It's not how I see a book. I don't want to hang around. When the story is over, I want the story to end, not hang around for a couple of weeks afterwards and tear apart the ending, analyze it from 16 different directions. From that aspect, the hero's journey ending is actually pretty cool. It doesn't actually call for denouement. It doesn't actually call for an after-action kind of ending report. I'm thinking of the last chapter of South Coast, for example, where after everything is said and done, Otto and his father are walking the beach again, which is sort of how the story begins. But there's a radical shift in both Otto and his father. Because his father wasn't really a shaman at the beginning of the book. He just had the title. And not Otto, Richard wasn't a shaman at the beginning of the book. He just had the title. And Otto was kind of at odds with, did he even want to be the shaman, even though he had the title, because his father was a shaman who had the title and he was inheriting it, according to the company rules. Now, the truth is that if he hadn't had the gift, he could have set it aside. He could have set that aside. He could have been the shaman. Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm the shaman, but he's going to go fish. He's going to go be a crabber. He could have set that aside. But the financial, well, not the financial, but the political implications of that are interesting. And that's one of the things that I'm exploring in Cape Grace, is what are the political implications of setting aside the shaman's title? not just in terms of the politics of being a shaman, but the politics of being a fisherman. For example, so if he sets aside his title to become a fisherman, what does that mean in terms of his relationship with the other fishermen? What does it mean with his relationship with the other shaman? What is the relationship among the shaman? What is it? Is it? And we didn't really talk too much about it in the first book. So I'm taking an opportunity here to kind of explore this idea. Because it has a direct bearing on how Otto can proceed, how Otto can operate while trying to get consideration for his daughter as a shaman, for trying to keep her on planet as an employee. She's under a different set of rules. And I'm just coming to the point now where something that I wrote about three weeks ago about being 17 and having to choose between enlisting in the service or being drafted. And one way or another, I was being forced to make choices that I did not want to make. And so I think this is going to be not a main theme, but perhaps a sub-theme. Or perhaps that is the theme. Perhaps that's my second draft. Perhaps that's the one I'll develop more. Because we all face choices that we don't want to make. We all face circumstances where there is no good choice. There's only, how do you reconcile having to make one that you are unhappy with, regardless of what the various opportunities and choices are? And there's a kind of optimistic sort of perspective on the world that there's always a good choice. You can always make a good choice. The reality is, most of the time, yeah. But once in a while, you come to a place where the good choices aren't really viable choices. And it comes down to making a choice that you can live with, compared to making a choice that will probably kill you. Now, in the case of being deported, it's not actually going to kill her, but it's going to pull her in ways that she's unable to predict, in ways that Otto is unable to prepare her for, because Otto has never been out there either. So all he knows is he wants to keep her. And what she knows is that everybody, every kid in the village is dreading their 18th birthday, because once they turn 18, if they don't have a job, if they don't have a parent who runs a drag or who can put them to work, if they don't have an inn somewhere with the corp someplace, then they're going to have to leave the planet. They're going to have to leave family and friends. They're going to have to launch themselves into what is, for the most part, completely unknown. And as I'm thinking about my own daughters, that's certainly exactly what they're facing right now. So yeah, it's going to have a little meat to it, this book. All right, here I am. Phew. It's hot, I'm sweatish. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.